We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
B-Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. B-Mitch and Finley is presented by John Leahy and the Fine Living Group. Let the MVP of DMV Real Estate sell your home for more. Visit johnsellsdmv.com. Before we left the last segment, JP threw a question out there. Is it a big thing that Montez, Chase, and Leno are not at OTAs? Is it a big deal or not? You know, and what's your reason for that? We have some calls on the line, 800-636-1067. We're going to take the calls before we go to listen to an interview that Joe Gibbs, JP did with Coach Gibbs. And so let's go to the MGM National Harbor listen line and find out. Caller, who we have left here?
Tim in D.C.
Tim in D.C. What's up, Tim?
What's up, Brother B? How you doing,
I'm
man?
Doing
good
well,
to talk
brother.
To you, man.
Oh, same.
One of my all-time favorite Redskins.
Appreciate you.
Hey, B, let me tell you, man, I'm so sick and tired. And I've said this before when I've called, man, but I'm so tired, man, of this manufactured outrage with Chase Young, man. I don't know what it is with these sissies out here, man, who are always crying and complaining about Chase Young. Chase Young is a talent, man, that comes along every now and then, man. The guy's been hurt. It's been unfortunate he got hurt. He can't help that. But the dude is a game wrecker, man. And this fan base, this fickle fan base, and a lot of these pontificators on the radio talk about Dan and Granny. These dudes, they have championed throwing Chase under the bus for some reason. I don't know. It's more personal than anything. But I'll tell you what. If they don't sign Chase and he goes somewhere else, man, I'm going to be the biggest Chase cheerleader when they play the Commanders, and I hope he tear their ass up. I'm sorry, brother, but I'm so sick and tired of it. It's not a big deal, man. It's still early. Like you said, you're a veteran, you're a future Hall of Famer. You know what's going on, and your commentary is on point all the time. So I just appreciate you, man, knowing what you're saying, knowing what you're talking about, and hail to the Commanders, man. And Chase Young, if you're listening, brother, man, don't even worry about it, man. You still got big love in the DMV for you, man. Just get healthy and come back and shine bright like a diamond, brother.
All right, baby. Appreciate you, Tim.
All right.
All right, let's go to the next one. Who we have left, Phil?
Bobby in Tacoma Park.
Bobby, what's happening, Bobby?
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking the call.
Cool, man.
Listen, I think that this Chase Young thing is blown out of proportion as well. But I think the main question that I have is actually for you, B. Mitch, because you have experience as an actual player, you know, going to these events, doing these, you know, off-season workouts and everything. I think sometimes as fans, we project onto what players do, what players think, without actually knowing what it's like for players internally and what their attitudes are. Because one of the main arguments that people are using against Chase and Montez is that, hey, these guys are team leaders. You need to be there as a team leader, whether you're working out or not. My question to you is if you could elaborate on your experience and, hey, do other players actually see it that way, or do they understand more about the personal choices and the business choices that these players are making? Because I think as fans, sometimes we just, like the previous caller said, we're looking for outrage. We're looking for reasons to be disappointed. And we project things onto players that just really aren't happening. So, I would just like to know what you think about that aspect.
Yeah, I think most fans and a lot of media people don't have a clue of what the player has to go through. And those players are just like anybody else. They have a lot of things that they have to juggle. You know, hell, I do radio on a daily basis, but there are other things that come up that I have to go do. And I go and talk with CK, I talk with JP and Lanfield and to make sure they understand that I won't be here. But the main thing is for everybody to always say, well, you're a team leader, you're supposed to be there. When I got released and went to to Philadelphia, there were players calling me to find out information. So I was being a team leader for Washington and Philly. So they don't even understand that level of, you don't always have to be there to communicate with guys. Especially in this day, we all learned during COVID that being present is not necessarily being present in a physical manner. I can call players and talk to them and let them know what I'm doing, and guys still are going to listen to you. Every veteran is not, or every leader is not going to always be there. You know, and I think that's the thing where fans want to say what they think, not what they know. And a lot of us in the media, we fall into that because we want to act like we know more than what we know when we don't have a damn clue. So a lot of people, I would, like I've always said, I would love to have a sit down and talk to them about what I went through, not what you think I go through or what you think is supposed to happen. I could tell you what I did for 14 years, and you'll find out what you think and what really is are not the same things. Thanks for your call, man. Let's go to you say we have our man G. All right, let's go to Garnet Hathaway. G, what's up, man?
Hey, this is Garnet from Boston. long time, first time.
What's going on with you, man? How you feeling?
I'm good. I'm just back in town right now, and I turned the radio on to hear you guys talking. So I thought I'd call, say hi, and I don't know, join the conversation, I guess.
I asked you the question. You play another professional sport, and in the off season, sometimes you have voluntary things. You know, do you go to everything? Does every player show up every time it's voluntary, or just sometimes they have things going on and they can't, and they go, they still come back? And will you get in an uproar when it's, 3.5 months away from the actual game time?
Yeah, I think the biggest comparison we have to OTAs is maybe the week before camp starts, you know, we'll have captain's practices. And guys who have been in town all summer will be there. Guys will start filtering in. But there's no thought about, hey, if a guy's not here, he's not still working hard. You know, he's not preparing for the season. Because when the season comes up, if they're not ready, you know, and they don't produce, they're not going to help the team, and they risk losing their job. Mm-hmm. So it's like you just said, too. It's like you can be physically there without being physically there.
Yep.
There's that trust in the guy and the professionalism that says, hey, they're going to be ready when the season starts, or when voluntaries end and it's mandatory. But, you know, when you get it's different, too. If a guy holds out because of the contract, that's different, right? If he's not showing up to camp, it's a lot harder to be present, even just talking to guys. You know, you're holding out from the team, and, you know, what ways you might be able to help the team going forward or what your future with the team might be. But for OTAs and captain's practices, I think you just – you know, you look at his fans, I look at football too. It's like, well, why isn't that guy there? And, well, you don't know why he's not there.
Yeah.
Hey, but
don't you think this too, Garnet, that like when there's a contract deal, most players don't make too many comments about it because you know you could be in that same situation tomorrow.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, you might even create a little more distance like that just to get yourself out of that. You know, out of that talk. And like you said, it could be you. So, and you know what your teammate's going through too. It's not enjoyable with a disagreement with an agent through a team. You don't want to have to worry about that for them. And you definitely don't want to worry about it for yourself either.
Yeah. Well, man, we appreciate you calling in, man. And so
it was just fun chatting with you.
Yeah. You left here, you went to Boston, y'all in the playoffs and making a lot of noise. Things didn't end how you wanted it to end, but ultimately, how was the rest of the season?
It was great. It was, I grew up in New England. It had been I grew up watching the Bruins play. I'd always dreamt of wearing that jersey, playing the Garden, and being able to play so close to family and friends was something I didn't think I'd ever experienced, but to be able to have that opportunity was amazing.
Well, I'll ask you this question. If you ever, when you stop playing hockey, we saw you catch a foul ball with your hand. The Red Sox have somebody they can reach out to, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm a free agent in that as well. So I'll get my agent on the phones. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. My wife and I brought our two kids and some family to the Sox game. It was my son's second birthday. And yeah, it worked out pretty perfectly. And then I got the signed ball coming back to give to my son pretty soon now, so we're excited.
Well, man, hey, good luck to you, Garnet, and thank you for calling, man. We always pull
thanks
for you.
Thanks very much. Yeah, thanks a lot. Have a good one.
All right, that's Garnet Hathaway, Boston Bruins. Yeah, we've with the Caps for a long time, but just a great dude, man. We appreciate him giving us a call here. Get back to the phone lines and find out. Who we got, Landfill?
We have Charlie in College Park.
Charlie, what's up, man?
Hey, man.
How you doing?
Hey. Good. Sunshine, and I'm talking to you guys.
Oh, cool.
Everybody else has stole my thunder. And Brian, you said it best. I always look at it from a player's point of view. The only 22 people that know anything that's going on are the 22 people on the field. Like you said, who knows what's really going on? Unless you're in that locker room or you're a coach, and you reported earlier before you started the segment again, that Rivera and Chase Young have talked. They know what's going on between the two of them, between him and the team. And, you know, he goes out there, you want people to be a leader. I agree with that to a certain extent. You go out there and blow your Achilles out like Amari Rodgers did. Oh, well, he's always hurt. Well, if he hadn't have been there, you shouldn't have been there. That's when you get hurt. Oh, you can't please everybody, you know?
Yeah.
I want him out there. I want him out there, too. You know what? I don't want his career to be ended. I don't want another season ended by blowing out me or blowing out Achilles. They know what kind of shape he's in, what he's doing. He knows. And if he doesn't, you know, keep up with that, he doesn't have his own integrity for whatever reason, whether it's the contract or whatever, the players and the coaches know what's going on. I wish people would call him a knee-jerk, would just leave it alone. Like you said, what you know and what your opinion is are two different things. Thanks.
All right. Let's go get the last caller here, and then we have an interview to run for y'all. Coach Gibbs talk with JP. We'll get that later, but let's get this last caller real quick. Who we have?
Shane in Jamaica.
Shane, what's up, man? Which part of Jamaica you in now?
I'm in Rio, brother. It's beautiful down here. I tell you what, I think I see Chase Young across the pool right now. Hey, look, it's not a big deal, man. This man is a professional. He's played football at high level, and look what he did. No, look, you guys know how I feel about Chase Young. Not a fan of him right now. But, no, I think right now it's not a big deal. Let the man be. He's a professional. He's going to come in shape. And look, he knows this is a big year for him. He's like he said when he got here, he's a businessman. So this year, I think he's going to go out and show him why he got Rookie of the Year. And I think at this point, I think you got to trade him, though. I don't think he's signing regardless. I think we got to trade him. That's my opinion. That's a different subject, though. But hell no, it's not a big deal. I think it is Chase. I'm going to buy Chase a run checker. You guys have a great day.
All right, man. Our man Shane calling us from Jamaica. Shane's always all over the world. But listen, let's just understand.
I thought he said he was in Rio.
No, he said Jamaica.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but the thing about it to me is this. Yes, fan is short for fanatical. But sometimes it's just silly where people want to get mad just to be mad. You know, I got cut from Washington and went somewhere and people were mad at me and booed me. So as if I was supposed to get cut from Washington and then I was supposed to just retire or go to a team other than somebody else that didn't even – like other than the teams that were really showing me interest. So people they got mad and said, oh, I can't believe you played there. Fans get mad at players for going to a team or having friends on other teams when they're married to people that cheer for Dallas, cheer for the Eagles, cheer for the Giants. You hang out with these people on a regular basis. So you get fired from Pepsi, you go work for Coke. Pepco fire you, you go work for the next Dominion Energy. But you always hold players to a standard that you don't hold yourselves to. So for me, I'm like, you have a right to say, well, I just want him to be there. And it stops there. Why lose your mind, raise your blood pressure? Because what you're yelling at is not doing any good. If the coach took the approach, I'm not going to say stuff publicly because I always ask my players to handle things in-house. So I'm going to do the same thing. And I think that makes more players, more fans pissed off. Why? Because you just want to have the animosity out there. You want the hysteria. You want the stuff to just make people click on. Media, you don't need it. I've been doing media here since 1991. I don't come to the airwaves to try to ignite anybody. I say what I truly believe, and I say what I believe in a truthful manner about stuff. And you know what? People ask me, man, how do you get ready to do it? I just say the truth. I say what I truly feel because most people don't say what they truly feel. They say what they think is going to get a rise out of the listener. They say what they feel is going to get a rise out of the fans. I'm not trying to get a rise out of you. My job is to entertain, but also educate. And if we always jump to what's easy as media people, we're not doing our jobs, and we're not educating any damn body. So all the people that in the media just take these opportunities to try to build your following, stop. Just do a little bit more work. Stop being lazy. You know what? Talk about some things that can make a damn difference. Talk about the implementations they're doing on this team that could make them better instead of always going after low-hanging fruit, because that shows to me that you're not the professional you claim you are. We have a few more calls. Let's get another call. Who have landfill?
Let's go to Byron in San Antonio.
San Antonio, I haven't talked to you in a while. Byron, what's going on, brother?
Hey, man, love and life.
All right.
How you fellas doing?
We're doing good.
Hey, my question is, first of all, why even address it? It's your team. It's your player. He's not there. He's taking care of personal stuff. And leave it at that. I'm not answering no more questions. He can go off on all them tirades. We need somebody to find out who the hell is going to call timeouts and review plays. That's what we need to worry about. But, hey, B-Man, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Quick one. I have a son's baseball game, right? He's playing ALCS championship in his little league.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on his team, he got some all-stars on his team. The team that they're playing against has some all-stars on their team. So before the game, they want to take a picture. And I'm irate because I'm like, what the hell is this? We're getting ready to play a game. Like, why the hell are y'all taking pictures together? Am I wrong? I take your ass off. Y'all
hey,
have a blessed one.
If they were older, I understand, but they're little kids, man. You know, it happens. And they're in all-star games, so it's like that's that once-in-a-lifetime thing. It's okay. But in a Super Bowl or something like that, in a professional level, hell no. You can do that after the game, not before the game.
B, I just got to go down and watch a little practice. What did Garnett say when he called in?
Man, Garnett was calling in, and he basically said that, you know, it's something that you don't get too much involved with it, you know? It's like he has the same mindset that I have where if it's like contract stuff, you stay away from that. But if it's ultimately a guy just not there, you don't know the necessary reason. Because he talked about they have the, what they say, the captain skate and something else is very similar to OTAs. And if a guy is not there, nobody gets upset. It comes down to, are you going to be ready to help us when you need to help us? And in that one day is not going to affect much.
That's cool you called in, and that's cool he can provide that level of insight into, you know, athletes that are going through it right now.
Yeah.
And you can say they're different sports or whatever, but it's still pro athletes.
They're different sports, but still, you still have to and people will try to use that excuse. Well, it's different sport. Don't make a difference. All the sports the same way, and I think most athletes think the same way.
So I just want to walk down there and watch some of practice. I wanted to watch some of Howell specifically, and I talked with a little birdie to figure out when they were going to be running 11 on 11s, and got to watch Howell and Brissett, and I think Howell had a pretty up and down day today, frankly, mm-hmm. from the folks I talked to. He did look good in the 11 on 11 sessions I watched. Definitely some takeaways just from a brief thing, and not to act like we can make decisive remarks off of watching a couple minutes, but you start to learn, you start to gather a picture. I watched enough just to see what the line looks like, what they're doing with D-line, all of that. We're going to get to all of that 1 o'clock. Also, this dude Josh Gerben is going to join us at 1:30 to talk about this Commanders trademark that was not approved. So that could be a very interesting process. Josh Gerben is a trademark attorney. Coming up next, Ben White, talking money, talking quarterbacks, talking all of it. Before we go, it's J.P. Finley here for Offenbachers. Summer's just around the corner, and the weather has been beautiful. Time to take advantage of the great outdoors. Whether you're planning on hosting a barbecue or soaking up some sun, I'm going to host a ball night one of these nights. Offenbachers has got you covered with the highest quality outdoor furniture, fire pits, hot tubs, swim spas. Nobody beats Offenbachers' styles, quality, prices, service, or integrity. And from now through Memorial Day, Offenbachers is offering an additional 10% off all in-stock outdoor furniture and game room merchandise, plus free financing for qualified buyers, not to mention extra discounts and incentives on all hot tubs and swim spas. Offenbachers has just finished an expansion of their Herndon showroom. Come see an even bigger selection of merchandise to choose from, including a clearance center with heavily discounted merchandise priced to sell immediately. Check out their Herndon showroom or any of their 4 locations, the Herndon, Annapolis, Rockville, or their sister store, Great Gatherings in Gainesville. Don't miss Offenbacher's Memorial Day sales event. Check them out online, offenbachers.com, and don't forget to mention J.P. Finley.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
B-Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fam. Busy day in Ashburn. OTAs, trademarks, we got it all going. Few people can speak on more topics than our guy, Ben White. I think we start here. Ben has some personal info. I gotta work on my intro for you, Ben. After 14 years as the chief economic correspondent at Politico, you are taking your talents to South Beach? Well, what exactly is happening, Ben?
Yeah, sort of. I'm moving to a publication called The Messenger. It's brand new. It's really good. It's dedicated to nonpartisan news and analysis. I'll be their chief Wall Street correspondent and kind of build out the finance and economics team. But it is based in Florida. So, yeah, in a sense, I'm taking my talents just to Wall Street, but I'll be down in Florida from time to time at HQ. So, yeah, in a way, I'm going to South Beach.
Well, I think congratulations are in order here, right? I imagine you get to go build out your own thing.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting. I mean, I had a great run at Politico. Loved it, still love it, love everybody there. 14 years is a long time to do something, and longer, you know, than I've been at any other place in my professional life. And sometimes you get that desire to do something new and build something fresh and on your own. Not on my own, obviously. A lot of great colleagues I'll be joining, including some former folks from Politico. But it's an opportunity to really, you know, to re-energize myself and build something new and have a bit of fun. So I did that, you know, for a bunch of time at Politico as a startup. Now it's a big, well-established, awesome publication. So now, you know, a new thing. It'll be fun.
Is it some of the same stuff you're doing now, Ben, or would it be extra?
Yeah, it'll be a little bit different. I mean, I'll launch a column, a morning newsletter, you know, not the same as Morning Money, more focused directly on finance and Wall Street, a little bit less on politics, but I won't spend all my time on that. But I'll do the same kind of economic analysis and reporting and maybe a little bit more on straight market stuff, which I really like, you know, just covering the ins and outs of Wall Street, both, you know, as a business and the stock market and bond markets as a whole. So I'll write a bunch of stories and then build out a video thing for them. So we'll have some in-house talk shows, you know, short ones that'll go out probably, you know, in the afternoon to get you up to speed on exactly what went down over the course of the business day. So there's a bunch of stuff in the works that should be really enjoyable and informative to people. And the whole idea is like give them all the information they need to make the, you know, choices on stuff themselves and no partisan lean to it. Not that we won't have an analytical edge and give you the truth, but it's not going to be biased in any way, and it'll give people, you know, full, transparent information on subjects that matter to them, and in my case, economic subjects that matter to them.
Well, perhaps the most important question for you to answer here is, will you still be able to make time to talk football with me and B-Mitch?
Absolutely. I, you know, negotiations, it was carved out. You know, you guys are sacrosanct in my life because it's one time in my week that I get to have a real, I mean, I have a good time doing everything, but this is one of the most fun times of my week. I ain't losing that.
All right. That's what we're glad to hear. Congratulations, everybody. Make sure you follow Matt Economy, Ben. Even more great news and information coming for you. So I want to start here. I definitely want to ask you some debt ceiling stuff and about the sale and what I heard down there and what you hear. But I want to start with, There's two things going on at Commanders OTAs. There is a desperation among the fan base for information on Sam Howell looks. I think he was kind of uneven today. I think it was, you know, a practice in May that we shouldn't worry too much about. But there's also Chase Young not being here. And he, these are voluntary workouts. He's allowed to not be here. Where do you land as a lifelong Commanders fan? Are you more interested in how Sam Howell looks, even if it's relatively unimportant in the grand scheme of things, or that Chase Young isn't here, even if that's relatively unimportant in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah, I'm not hugely worried about either of them. I mean, the Chase Young thing, you can understand, you know, he's upset that they didn't exercise the option, you know, and that he's got to kind of play for his contract this year. I'm disappointed any time a key player like that, especially one who has such talent and such promise and has shown it, you know, obviously rookie of the year, but then got really badly hurt and hasn't really shown it again. Like, it'd be good for him to be in the building for everything and getting up to speed. But, you know, I understand it. I don't really blame him as long as he's there for training camp and is in shape and healthy and goes out there and balls out, you know, the way he can and is healthy. I have no real worries about him because the guy is a monster talent, just needs to be able to stay on the field. And Howell, sure, you know, I'd love to hear from you that he's out there throwing dimes, you know, 80 yards to all of our wide receivers and looks like, you know, Joe Montana and Elway and Brady combined. I have no expectations of that, certainly no expectations of that in May. So, you know, I'm interested in it. It'd be cool to hear, you know, how he develops and improves, but I'm not going to worry about, you know, a couple of uneven practices in May from a guy who's barely played a, you know, snap in the NFL.
Fair.
Yeah, Chase, I have this little saying I always tell people, if you don't feel like being bothered, stay home. So I kind of feel like if you're going to say something that's going to cause a lot of uproar with your team, you're more than likely to do better being somewhere else working out than where you know the media is going to be asking you crazy questions. And then on top of the thing with Sam Howell, I've watched veteran players be here, have up and down days sometimes. And this is like, what, their first full-time going out there?
Yeah.
I expect that. Right now. But if it's like that in September, then we got a problem.
Different. Right. Yeah. If he rolls out, you know, preseason or whatever and stinks it up and then opener, you know, just looks terrible and all that, obviously cause for concern. This wouldn't be. He's like a black box to me. You know, there's plenty of Wall Street comparisons, like hedge funds, that you just have no idea how they actually operate. And I just have no idea how good he is. And I hear he's pretty good. I've seen a little bit. And I hope for the best, but I have absolutely no clue.
Well, and we're not really going to know, honestly, probably till about Halloween. Because say he's good week one and bad week two, like, we got to give it some time. There's got to be a long
leash. Of course. Yeah, it's got to be a long leash, particularly when you got nothing else, really.
Right. Speaking of the time on this, I spent the last couple days in Minnesota where there were NFL owners meetings. And really the only people that talked of any substance on the record were Jim Irsay, Jerry Jones, and Roger Goodell. And Goodell and Jones both said of the Commanders sale, some stuff to work through, but we're really confident. Irsay had a slightly more even tone about, you know, yeah, we got to see what this structure looks like and make sure it adheres to our rules. Your world is gigantic financial transactions. Is this fairly customary? Does it all sound normal to you?
I got to tell you, the Israel comments, I read them as well, worried me about it for the first time, that some of the financing the owners might have more questions about than I originally thought. And Goodell and Jones obviously sounded different, and I liked what Goodell said about, you know, talking to the new ownership team about potentially doing a deal like we talked about last week to move the city back to D.C., which would be the most wonderful thing in the world. But, it was a little concerning. And I don't know the extent to which they'll need to change the terms of the financing, like put more cash on the table. That seems to be maybe what maybe some of the other owners are concerned about, that there's too much debt financing. Maybe they're worried about, you know, interest rates rising and the cost of servicing that debt. So I still believe that the NFL wants Snyder out, Snyder wants out. This is the best deal they're going to get. This is the best ownership group they're going to get, and they will get the whatever they need, 24 of the owners, to approve it. But those comments made me think that there might be some tweaks to this deal to get them all comfortable before it gets done. That kind of popped in my head as a concern.
I think it's more of like a show. It seems like they're trying to make sure they take their time, say a lot of stuff publicly. No. But I think they've already agreed to some stuff and they're ready to move this thing forward. They just want to make sure they got a fake lawsuit out there right now. They're trying to make sure they have no real ones come back to them.
Well, that's true. I mean, due diligence, you got to show that you're doing it. And they are doing it. You know, spoke to it like, we'll do it as fast as we can, but, you know, within the due diligence we got to do. But, you know, when one of the owners comes up publicly, that kind of wishy-washy on it, it just gives me a little concern. But I see no other real option for the NFL or the team. So they just got to figure it out.
All right, last thing that you are certainly the expert among the three of us on, this debt ceiling stuff. It appears we're getting quite close to the deadline. People are talking about making a coin. I don't know what the hell that means. Tell me this is much ado about nothing and they'll figure it out.
It's much ado about nothing and they'll figure it out is the true answer. As I said last week, the debt limit is the dumbest thing that we still have in the federal code. Well, not the dumbest. There are plenty of dumb things, but this one is one of the stupidest because we go through this all the time and we get close to the deadline and markets start to go crazy and we do dumb things and then we raise the debt limit, which we will do again this time. Nobody wants a default. Nobody wants the political or economic fallout from a default. So we will get there. We are not there. We may get to June 1, the alleged day when Treasury can't issue any more debt. It's probably a little later than that. And if we get to that point, they'll pass something, an emergency bill to extend the deadline by a little. Then they'll make an agreement that cuts spending in certain areas, but not by that much. And they'll cobble together a majority of Republicans with enough Democrats to pass it. They'll just make our lives miserable in the process.
Okay. So short-term pain, long-term stays the same.
There you go.
Yeah, you can bank on the fact that the U.S. is not going to default for the first time in its history and collapse the economic and financial markets across the world. That's not going to happen because it's just too idiotic to happen. But we'll do the dance from here until, you know, first week of June or so and either punt it down the road a little or make like a two-year deal. But I wouldn't lose sleep.
They play politics until they realize their politics will get them not elected anymore, then they're going to make sure that people that are voting for them are happy.
Particularly on the Republican side, every time they think they're going to win the public fight over this and somehow get a victory, and they don't and always get blamed, which they will again, not that Biden won't to some degree as well, but there's just no winners in a failure here. So a failure is not an option that anybody will accept.
Failure is not an option we will accept either. Congrats on the new gig. Thank you very much
for making time.
And and everybody give him a follow. Economy Ben.
Definitely.
Thanks, Wes. Talk to you.
All right. That is our guy, Ben White. We appreciate his time every week. Huge, huge old school Skins fan and super wired in the financial world. I feel better. If Ben says we don't need to be freaked out, I'm good with that.
There we go.
Yeah. All right. 1:30, Josh Gervin is the trademark attorney that broke the news that Washington's Commander's trademark has been denied. I'd love to know, remember when they told us that it couldn't be Red Wolves because they wouldn't be able to get the trademark?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't get this trademark either. What the hell is going on? My observations from watching some of Sam Howell, Jacoby Brissett at the line of scrimmage with Eric Bieniemy barking at him. Plenty to come. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs because right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. So many reasons why I love betting with FanDuel. They have great promotions every day. The app is safe and secure. And when you win, you get paid instantly. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/Brian and get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/Brian. FanDuel is official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel is also the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. B. Mitchell Philly, 106.7 The Fan. B. Mitchell Philly is presented by John Leahy and the Fine Living Group. Let the MVP of DMV Real Estate sell your home for more. Visit johnsellsdmv.com. A lot of different things going on in the sports world. We had a young man has an Achilles injury. Armani Rogers happened yesterday. Haven't ruled him out the whole year, but we would suspect that that's going to be something like that. But also some people not at training camp. Man, OTAs, not training camp. Let me make sure I say the right thing. At OTAs. So we got to make sure we get that situated and understand why they're not there. But is it a big story at this point or not? I don't think it really is.
If you're up with it, I wanted to run through kind of my – what I saw I got to get down there for 25 minutes or so. I made a point to make sure I got to watch 11 on 11 with what seems like it will be the starters.
Uh-huh.
And obviously everybody wants to talk about the quarterbacks, Howell and Brissett. And we got to see a little bit of – I got to watch 7-on-7 and then 11-on-11. But I think we start with what might be more important or certainly what will make those guys better with the offensive line. And so we saw Andrew Wiley is out there at your right tackle spot. Sam Cosmi now is getting – at least there's a spot for him. They're like, all right, dude, be our right guard. And he can work on being the guard. Then you had Nick Gates at center. I think fans are going to love Gates. Assuming he keeps this up at training camp, he –
He's for real?
Well, he's a loud fella for sure. But he also likes to show off what he's got. Shake what your mama's gave you.
You like dancing?
Not dancing so much as pulling up. You know how receivers and running backs sometimes will wear their practice jersey pretty high and show off the abs?
So you got an offensive lineman doing that?
Yeah, and I wouldn't necessarily describe it as abs, B.
So he got the party ball. You remember the party ball back in the day, right?
Exactly.
There you
That's
go.
A great way to describe
it. Hey, you
got to
have confidence in yourself, man.
The belly is out, and he's got long hair.
Well, you know, Trent used to spat up like he was a receiver, so I like it.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're looking for something entertaining when we get to the dog days in August, I think Nick Gates' belly dances might be part of it.
Oh, yeah.
At least for today, and
Shake
honestly,
what your mama gave you, dog.
Sadiq Charles was starting at left guard with Cornelius Lucas at left tackle. If you play that out, I think when Charles Leno is back, he will be the starting left tackle. But Sadiq Charles has a real chance at that left guard spot. Nobody's hitting, so yeah. Trying to make any determination of the line at this point is fairly silly. But from what I've seen of both players, I would put Sadiq ahead of Chris Paul. Chris Paul last year really needed to work on upper body strength. And that's not to say, like, dudes like you and me, or not you, dudes like me and Jeff, it's to say, like, NFL players. If you have to block Dexter Lawrence, you need to be super strong.
You'd be ready.
Right. And I think I don't think that would be a big surprise for a guy that's a seventh-round pick out of Tulsa or whatever, that he's just not strong enough. Maybe we'll see if that develops. What do you think of a line? I'll even include Leno, B. Wiley, Cosmi, Gates, Charles, Leno. How confident are you in that?
Wiley, Cosmi, Gates, Charles, Leno. I'm more confident of the interior than I was before. We were inconsistent in the middle. And I believe that they're going to be trying to get the ball out of hand so quick that it's going to help Leno a little bit. Because I felt when they had the 5-7-step drop thing against those elite pass rushers, that was a problem for him last year. So I would expect – I mean, I'm comfortable, but I have to see some growth from them where they are, where they were last year for sure.
I agree with you. I do think perhaps Bieniemy schematically can help the O-line. We know that they like to move the pocket a lot more. And here's the thing is we all – now, for Wiley, he at least knows it and is comfortable with it, right? But we're all operating under this assumption that because that offensive system likes to do that, that it's necessarily going to work here.
Yeah.
Because if you what Ron said earlier about it's not a big deal that Leno's not here because he played in Chicago under Nagy and it's the same Andy Reid system, cool. But that same system didn't work in Chicago. Like,
yeah.
So when we assume that, okay, they're going to matter, they're going to for the offense, it might, but it also might not.
Yeah.
And for all the excitement about EB, and I think the personality side, the hard-charging, get-in-your-face attitude is frankly pretty necessary out here.
Yeah.
But, like, the last Andy Reid hotshot coordinator, it didn't work with. So I do think we need a little bit of reality on that. And maybe that's the Bears just could never figure out the quarterback position. Who knows?
Yeah.
Everything requires context and is specific to individual situations.
That was a part of the problem. The quarterback up there, too.
B, are we sure that the quarterback situation is solved here?
We're not.
Right. Right. Speaking of the quarterbacks, let's run through what I saw today at Commanders OTAs. Don't go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.